This is the Monte Alban self-guided audio tour, brought to you by the Monte Alban Heritage Center. Welcome to Monte Alban, the ancient Zapotec capital towering above the Oaxaca Valley. Prepare to journey back in time as we explore its awe-inspiring plazas, pyramids, and hidden tombs. On this tour, we'll follow a counterclockwise route around the Grand Plaza, visiting the five essential structures of Monte Alban. At each stop, I'll give you vivid descriptions and share fascinating insights, along with little-known facts and visitor tips for safety and comfort. While moving between stops, you'll hear footsteps. When you do, you can pause the audio until you get close to the next attraction, then restart it. In the meantime, try to stay aware of the cardinal directions as we move through the site. I'll use them to guide you. Cloudy days can make orientation harder, so if you have a compass, bring it along. It's not essential, but it helps. One more thing before we set off. Keep your site map handy throughout the tour. Every stop I describe has a number, and you'll find that same number on the map beside the structure's name. That's how you know which stop we're on. Then look for the purple camera icon. It marks the exact spot to stand so that what you see in front of you matches what I'm describing. Before we begin, if you need water or a restroom, use the facilities here at the entrance. Carry a hat and sunscreen. The sun at this altitude can be intense. If it's a cloudy day, you're in luck. Are you ready? Then take a deep breath, feel that highland breeze, and let's step back into the ancient Zapotec city of Monte Alban. We start at the main entrance, next to the parking area and ticket office. Monte Alban was founded over 2,500 years ago, around 500 BCE, and grew into a mighty city of 25,000 people, ruling the region for over a millennium. The entire mountaintop was leveled by Zapotec builders to create this ceremonial center. Imagine the labor and devotion it took to carve a city into the sky. Monte Alban's ancient name is unknown. The Zapotec abandoned it long before Spanish records. The name Monte Alban may come from a Spanish soldier's name or from the white flower-covered mountain slopes. The Zapotec themselves simply called it Daniban, Sacred Mountain, according to some scholars. To reach our first stop, walk southwest and uphill for about 250 meters from the visitor center to the north platform, at the north end of the main plaza. Now, as you approach, take care wandering the top. There are some low walls and sudden drop-offs along the platform edges. It's a good idea to stay within obvious paths or areas that have been cleared for visitors. You are essentially walking through the Zapotec White House of its time. When you first arrive at the north platform, you walk right into the VG complex, the most exclusive precinct in the entire city. It's a tight quadrangle of four buildings, and you're standing at the western one, the Temple of the Two Columns. Directly across the patio to the east is Building VG. From there, on key dates in the calendar, the rulers watch the setting sun drop between these two columns beside you, turning the whole summit into a giant clock. From this same lookout on the two-column platform, you can easily see the sunken patio to the south, a recessed courtyard set within the platform itself. This sunken patio, around 50 by 50 meters, lies just south of your position, behind the main stairway. In ancient times, only the king, high priests, and select elites would gather here. Its central altar and cardinal alignment made it a cosmic focal point. Today, you can sense the sacred atmosphere. Stepping into this lowered court feels like entering a private ceremonial chamber. Beyond the sunken patio to the south, you can see the king's reception hall, easily discernible due to its 12 stone columns, six on each side placed in parallel. It is deemed to have been the place where the king held court. You will notice scattered foundations of rooms and halls, the remains of a sprawling palatial complex all around the North Platform's periphery. This area is known as the North Palaces. While thousands of commoners gathered in the plaza below, the rulers lived up here against the clouds, where the air itself felt closer to the gods. These palaces weren't just homes, they were the seat of government. Living quarters clustered on the north sides of the courtyards, while the southern rooms handled public and administrative affairs. Within these terraces were living quarters, storerooms, and courtyards for daily royal life. Children of the king might have played in open porticos, while the queen oversaw ritual corn grinding or weaving in shaded areas. And beneath these very floors lay the painted tombs of ancestors, so the elite quite literally lived atop their dead, a constant claim to lineage and divine right. Little known fact, some of the most ornate artifacts in Monte Alban were found in palace tombs, delicate bone codices etched with genealogical records. One bone tablet features a family tree in Mixtec pictographs, evidence that after Monte Alban's decline, Mixtec elites reused these palaces and left their own mark. When you're ready, from the north platform head south, down the western edge of the Grand Plaza, for about 460 meters to stop 2, Building L and the Danzantes at the southwest corner. As you approach the start of Building L, there is a nice shady tree you can sit under to rest up a bit before continuing. You're in the southwest corner of the plaza now. Take a sip of water and some photos, and when you're ready, let's continue. You are now standing before Building L, one of the oldest and most foundational structures at Monte Alban. This is not a grand pyramid. It's a long, elevated stone platform rising from the southwest corner of the plaza, reached by a central staircase of around 11 steps. But don't let its modest height fool you. This was built at the very dawn of the city, during Monte Alban's founding phase, more than 2,000 years ago, which makes it one of the first monumental buildings these people ever raised here. Look at the way it's constructed. The face of the platform is built from massive rectangular stone slabs, set in alternating upright and horizontal courses, an early and ambitious feat of Zapotec engineering. Beneath what you see lie even older buried phases, and a tunnel runs into the structure from the north. In its day, these walls were finished in thick, smooth stucco and would have gleamed above the plaza floor. Picture this platform not as a quiet ruin, but as the freshly built showpiece of a young and ambitious city, announcing to everyone who entered that a new power had risen on this mountain. Little known fact, if you look at the first rows of steps going up Building L on the side of the shade tree, you can see often missed reliefs that the locals call nadadores, swimmers. Their horizontal position gives them the impression of being in the water, but there is no official evidence supporting this. Can you find them? Okay, Building L holds its true claim to fame at the southern end of the structure, the Danzantes Gallery. Walk south for a few more meters until you get to the corner of the structure. The Danzantes Gallery actually starts in Building L. If you look at the southernmost corner of the building, there is a small room with the original Danzantes slabs embedded in the wall there. There is usually a line, which varies in length, to get in, because the room is quite small and only fits one or two people at most. Go in and check that out. Exiting the room right next to it starts the official Danzantes Gallery. As you can see, there are a series of large carved stone slabs depicting human figures. Take a moment to study a couple of these weathered reliefs. The figures look like contorted, perhaps dancing men, hence the name Danzantes, the dancers. But on closer look, Their poses are strange, even gruesome. Limp bodies with closed eyes, some with genital mutilations, or flowing scrolls that may represent blood. These may not be joyous dancers at all. They are more likely depictions of sacrificial victims or enemy rulers vanquished by Monte Alban's residents. Over 300 Danzante's carvings were found here, making this gallery essentially an open-air wall of conquest and ritual, the earliest date to Monte Alban's formative period over two millennia ago. They are also among the earliest examples of writing anywhere in this part of the world. Some figures have glyphs near them, possibly naming who they were. Interestingly, the heavy facial features of the Danzantes, the broad noses and full lips, hint at an Olmec influence, suggesting early cultural connections. Imagine this platform in its heyday, brightly painted with these carvings displayed prominently as a propaganda wall of defeated enemies. A Zapotec priest or official might lead visitors along this line of stones to impress upon them Monte Alban's might. The stones you see are mostly replicas, and the priceless originals are in the site museum for preservation. But standing here, you can almost hear the ancient stones whispering tales of triumph and sacrifice. Little known fact, originally these Danzante's slabs weren't found neatly lined up. They were discovered reused as construction fill inside. Later, archaeologist Alfonso Caso in the 1930s realized that Building L had an earlier phase, a courtyard whose walls were once lined with the Danzantes in their original positions. Around 100 AD, the Zapotecs themselves took down the dancers and buried them within a remodeled platform, perhaps to replace this gruesome display with new monuments as their culture evolved. The last two slabs in the line of Danzantes, you will notice, look different from the rest. They don't have human figures and shapes. Instead, they have symbols. There are two of them, and these are Stelae 12 and 13. Stelae 12 and Stelae 13 might not look like much at first glance, weathered slabs with faint carvings, but these are extraordinary relics of Monte Alban's early writing and calendar system. Archaeologists have identified on these stones the year-bearer glyph 4, lightning, paired with the day 8, water. Read together, the two stones are interpreted as an accession record. In the year 4 lightning, a ruler named 8 water was seated in office, his noble lineage proclaimed in stone. These stelae carry among the earliest year-bearer glyphs in Mesoamerica, older than the Maya long count, though an even earlier precursor is known from nearby San Jose Mogote. Indeed, Monte Alban was among the first cultures in the Americas to record history in writing, and you're looking at that literacy right here. Little known fact, the glyphs on Stelae 12 and 13 show writing that is distinctly Zapotec. For example, the number is placed after the day sign, the reverse of later Maya practice. Archaeologist Joyce Marcus has shown that these texts record real political events, naming specific rulers and the dates on which they took power. In other words, these humble stones are like the Rosetta Stones of Mesoamerican calendrics. When you're ready, walk east along the base of the massive south platform, about 115 meters, to reach stop 3. The south platform is the huge pyramid at the plaza's south end, about 140 meters on each side. This massive pyramid dominates the entire south end of Monte Alban's plaza. Go ahead and look up. Awe-inspiring, isn't it? This is the tallest structure on site, rising about 40 meters, 131 feet, from the plaza. A grand staircase, 40 meters wide, leads to its summit. Flanking the base of the stairs, you might notice carved panels embedded in the corners. These are reused stelae with zoomorphic reliefs, jaguars perhaps, likely placed here as offerings during later renovations. In Monte Alban's late period, around 500 to 800 AD, the Zapotecs placed earlier carved stones into this platform, including scenes of rulers, captives, and even a tableau of a diplomatic visit from Teotihuacan's elite. The south platform was truly a symbolic mountain of power. Climb up the staircase if you're able. I promise the view is worth the effort. I'll speak while you climb. Just take your time. These steps are steep and the treads narrow, so take them slowly, 1 foot at a time. As you ascend, imagine grand processions that once marched here during ceremonies, possibly with instruments blaring and incense smoke rising to the sky. On top, catch your breath and then turn around. Wow! The entire Monte Alban Plaza sprawls below, and beyond, the valleys of Oaxaca spread to the horizon. To your north, directly opposite, looms the north platform, and between lies the vast main plaza, over 300 by 200 meters in size. From up here, you can see how expansive it is. It's one of the largest plazas in Mesoamerica. Slightly off-center in the plaza, you will notice a strange arrowhead-shaped building. That's Building J, and we'll get to that after here. This vantage point is a photographer's dream. On clear mornings, the sunlight paints long shadows of every temple and wall. Also, take a look behind you on the top platform. You'll find a modest pyramid structure up here, likely the base of a temple where only priests and nobility could go. Though not fully excavated, traces of walls suggest rooms or altars once stood there. This high perch was both a ritual stage and a lookout. Be cautious coming back down these steps, especially if it's wet or if you're feeling tired. The stairs are steep and irregular. Turn sideways and go down slowly, using your hands against the steps for stability. Also, keep an eye on the children if you have them. It's a long way down. Once back at plaza level, you might take a short rest in the shade at the base before continuing. Little known fact, beneath the south platform, archaeologists found a series of sealed chambers and tunnels that remain unexplored to this day. Some believe these may have held ceremonial offerings, hidden burials, or functioned as symbolic passageways to the underworld in Zapotec cosmology, a sacred space deliberately left undisturbed for over 1,000 years. Okay, now let's head over to stop 4. Descend the staircase and walk north into the center of the plaza, about 40 meters, to reach Building J. Building J is the arrowhead-shaped structure near the plaza's center, easily recognized by its 45-degree offset orientation relative to other buildings. No other building here looks like this. Let's walk to its entry side. You'll find a small staircase on its south face leading up to a trapezoidal doorway. Building J baffled archaeologists for decades. Why is it rotated strangely? Why the unusual shape with no right angles? In 1972, astronomers Avini and Lindsley argued it was an observatory, a claim debated ever since. They proposed that the front doorway of Building J is aligned with the point on the horizon where the bright star Capella would appear at dawn on the day the sun reaches its zenith over Monte Alban. In simpler terms, on the year's first zenith passage, when the sun casts no shadow at midday, an important day in the agricultural calendar, the star Capella would rise at dawn and shine through this building's sightline. Coincidence? Many researchers think not, and read this structure as a stellar observatory, tracking stars and sun together to calibrate their calendar. Now, walk around the sides of Building J. You can't enter the interior, but you can circle it. Notice the series of large carved stones embedded in its exterior walls. These are the famous Lapidas de Conquista, the conquest slabs. Each slab shows a carved glyph of a distant town, under which is an upside-down head, signifying that town was conquered. Over 40 such slabs were found. Essentially, Jay's walls are a trophy record of Monte Alban's victories. One slab even shows what looks like a hieroglyphic depiction of a temple burning, perhaps describing the subjugation of another. So, Building J served a dual purpose, scientific observatory and war monument. Peer into any small doors or openings you see. Building J is honeycombed with passages inside, adding to its mystery. Some tunnels connect to hidden rooms and niches, possibly where priests observed the stars or made offerings. Envision astronomer priests perched atop this building on clear nights, measuring star risings, or during the day watching shadows to mark equinoxes and solstices. It's a testament to the intellectual prowess of the Zapotec. Little known fact, Building J doesn't only point to Capella. Recent INAH research found that its axis of symmetry frames the setting sun on two dates each year, September 1st and April 11th, part of a 73-day cycle the Zapotecs used to divide their year.
Science and ceremony fused in one building. Little wonder it earned the modern name El Observatorio. It's one of the earliest known observatories in the Americas.
Ready? Let's head northeast about 220 meters toward the ramp that leads up to Stop 5, the ball court. Monte Alban's largest ball court is located just up the ramp and beyond the northeast corner of the main plaza. You there? Great. The ball court's interior is roped off to preserve it. However, you can walk around its perimeter. You're looking into a recessed, capital I-shaped court framed by two long, sloping walls. Step a bit closer down the access path, you'll notice the court, 41 by 24 meters in size. Unlike some other Mesoamerican sites, Monte Alban's ball court has no stone rings high on the walls, and indeed, archaeologists believe it never had them. Instead, on the court's flat middle, there is a large, circular stone marker. This might have been used to bounce the rubber ball at the game's start, a tradition Zapotec descendants still use to this day, in a variant of the game. Try clapping your hands. You'll hear a sharp echo. The acoustics of these courts often amplified sounds, heightening the drama. Now imagine two teams of players dressed in padded gear hitting a solid rubber ball, mainly with their hips and knees. The goal? To keep the ball in play, perhaps to hit specific targets or markers. The exact rules at Monte Alban remain debated. Each region had its own, but one thing is certain, this was more than a sport. It was a ceremonial ritual, symbolizing the cosmic battle of day and night, or life and death. Priests and elites likely watched from the platforms at either end of the court. If you look to the corners of the court, you can see small niches built into the walls, their purpose unknown, but they could have held offerings, trophies, or even incense during games. Monte Alban actually had five ball courts in total, small ones in outlying areas of the site, but this was the grandest. It dates to around 100 BC to 200 AD, meaning it's as old as the main plaza. Games here could have been watched by hundreds standing along the plaza edge above, cheering or gasping as the ball thumped against the walls. Little known fact, some Mesoamerican ball games were associated with human sacrifice. Often the losing or winning team's captain was offered to the gods. At Monte Alban, we have no direct evidence of sacrifices tied to the game here, but the court still carried deep meaning. Carved stone solar disks once capped its upper walls, tying the rhythm of play to the daily journey of the sun across the sky. But before we say our goodbyes, I've saved one last surprise for you, a bonus stop and quite possibly the most famous discovery ever made at Monte Alban. From the ball court, head toward the exit, making for the ramp that leads down to the parking lot. It's about 470 meters to Tomb 7. Exit the main archaeological plaza using the ramp that leads out to the parking lot. The ramp is roped off right after the stairs, but if you stay parallel and alongside it, the ramp leads right out to the path to Tomb 7. You even see the tomb from the bottom of the ramp, just north of the parking lot. While technically separate from the central ruins, it's one of the most important archaeological finds in all of Mesoamerica, and well worth the short detour. Know that one of the greatest treasures ever found in Mesoamerica was found right here. Unfortunately, the treasure is not in the on-site museum here, but in the Santo Domingo Museum and Convent in Oaxaca's historic center. Seeing the gold and turquoise up close after seeing the actual tomb really ties the experience together. Tomb 7 was originally a relatively humble, classic period Zapotec tomb that, by the 14th century, had been reopened and reused by Mixtec people. In 1932, archaeologist Alfonso Caso excavated it and was astonished to find it filled with one of the richest treasure hoards in the Americas. Imagine the scene. By lantern light, Caso peers into a chamber and sees glittering objects piled everywhere. Gold discs and necklaces, turquoise mosaics, exquisitely worked jewelry, jadeite beads, alabaster cups, carved bone, and a human skeleton adorned with this regalia. Among the most iconic artifacts from Tomb 7 is a skull covered in turquoise mosaic, inlaid with turquoise and shell, and set with polished obsidian eyes. Alongside it came a gold pectoral representing Mictlantecuhtli, the god of the dead, a delicate rock crystal goblet, finely worked gold and silver jewelry, and Mixtec codices carved on jaguar and eagle bone. A portable archive of genealogy and ritual, this trove had hundreds of objects, so many that they fill an entire gallery in Oaxaca's Museo de las Culturas today. But what makes Tomb 7 truly fascinating is the story it tells. The Mixtecs, who arrived in the region long after Monte Alban's political height, revered this site as ancestral ground. They reopened Tomb 7, respectfully removed the remains of the Zapotec occupant, and then interred their own high-status individuals, along with fabulous offerings. It was like laying claim to Monte Alban's legacy, not by destroying, but by integrating. Through marriage and ritual, the Mixtec elites grafted themselves onto Zapotec royalty. Among the lesser-known items in Tomb 7 was a set of small pearls and cinnabar, mercury sulfide, powders sprinkled around the burials. Cinnabar is a bright red mineral, often used by Mesoamericans to symbolize blood and the life force. Little-known fact, its presence indicates that the Mixtec performed a ritual reanimation of the tomb, essentially an offering of life to accompany the dead. Those fine details, invisible to most exhibits, tell of the care and spiritual meaning behind the riches. And with that, our tour of Monte Alban's five most important structures and the amazing Tomb 7 comes to a close. Take a moment to reflect on what you've seen. The sprawling plazas, the towering platforms, the intricate carvings, and the sweeping views of the Oaxaca valleys. Monte Alban is more than ruins. It's a testament to human ingenuity, spirituality, and endurance. The stones whisper how a civilization rose here, observed the stars, venerated its dead, and lived on through memory and myth. Thank you for joining this journey, provided to you by the Monte Alban Heritage Center. If you enjoyed the tour, please recommend it to a friend and leave us a review using the link we sent you in your email.
And if you'd like to go deeper, our full 16-stop tour explores 10 more amazing structures. As you depart, perhaps you'll carry a bit of Monte Alban's magic with you, the echo of a danzante's silent cry, the alignment of a star above Building J, or the thud of a ball against an ancient court. All of us here at the Monte Alban Heritage Center wish you safe travels and happiness always.